Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message.
I want to speak to you this morning about the blessing and authority of marriage. And especially looking at children and the blessing that they are, I want you to know that God is interested in legacy. Amen. God's not in it for the short run. He's in it for the long run. Hallelujah. And he blesses us and our children in their generations. And this morning I want to read from Psalm 127 verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Hallelujah. Marriage is very important because it ensures the covenant blessing comes upon our children. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 1:38, it says, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he will cause Israel to inherit it. And in Jesus' name, you will cause your children to inherit. The blessings of the parents come on the children. Hallelujah. And everything you've achieved, every breakthrough you had, they can stand on your shoulders and go further. Amen. Thank God. They don't have to go and break down those bridges again, build those bridges again. No, they can just step into what we have done and go further. Hallelujah. They can excel. They can increase. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's what God wants. If you look at the way he built his church through the generations, he's been restoring the church, taking the church from glory to glory. Aren't you glad that we don't have to, every time we get saved, start in the dark ages? We have to come to a revelation like Martin Luther of the just shall live by faith and slowly but surely. No, but every revelation received by the generations up to now, we stand on their shoulders and we go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And I pronounce that blessing over you and over your children. Somebody say, amen, amen. I want to say this morning that success comes from succession. Abraham understood that without a son, without an heir, everything he achieves is nothing. That's why when God came to Abraham, he said to him, Abraham, fear not, I'm your exceeding great reward. Abraham said to him, look, you have not given me an offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, he was saying, all this is worthless if there's no succession. How many of you know that generational wealth is powerful? Amen. Can I say it again? Generational wealth is powerful. That is why it's so important for us as parents to realize generational blessing, the power of generational blessing. It's a sad thing that when parents pass away, the home gets sold, money gets distributed, and then there's no more wealth. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You and I need to realize the power of generational blessings. Amen. And God's anointed us to lay that up for our children, to train them, to equip them. Understand today that God is interested in generational blessing. Hallelujah. In fact, everything that your parents and your grandparents then had built, God says, I want to restore that to you and I want you to build on that. God remembers generational blessing. Somebody say amen. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When God looks at you, he looks at your generations. God sees us very different. Amen. He sees everything. He sees all that's been prepared, everything that is laid up for us. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance. Everybody say, I'm going to leave an inheritance. Come on, say it again. I'm going to leave an inheritance. Listen, God didn't want us to die poor, penniless, moneyless, nothing, no house, no land, nothing. God wants you to leave a legacy. So if somebody put up your hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to leave an inheritance. Amen. It's the plight of sinners to leave their wealth for the righteous. But the righteous leaves their wealth to their children and their children's children. Hallelujah. For generations to come. Amen. And listen, it's one thing to leave your wealth. If you haven't imparted your wisdom, they will squander it. Amen. If you haven't spent time with them, then all your wealth building will eventually just come to absolutely nothing. I've seen children come into a great inheritance, and within a few years, it's all squandered, it's all gone. Why? Because they never learned the wisdom of their parents that built it. Amen. We need to learn wisdom. We need to grow in knowledge and teach our children with us. Hallelujah. In fact, I'm of the opinion that when your child grows up, you should teach them your business. You should teach them everything that you know. So by the time they're 30, they can take it all over. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What does that mean? It means when my son turns 31, I'm on a permanent holiday. Amen. I become the patriarch. I become one and said, yeah, that's the wisdom, that's it. But they work. Hallelujah. And they press in and they take everything that you built from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. Listen, that is why the covenant of marriage is so important, because it assures succession. Parents ensure children's inheritance, Ezekiel 37:25. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Everybody say their children's children. Hallelujah. Dwell where your fathers dwelt. In Jesus' name, I claim every land that my ancestors sold. Amen. Somebody say amen. I claim every house, every land, everything that was sold. I claim it back in the name of Jesus. So God can take us from glory to glory. How do we ensure our children's inheritance? By honoring a marriage covenant. Listen, we live in a society that's against marriage covenant. Amen. It's a very important thing that you and I need to realize is that the enemy is against marriage. That's why if you look at this whole promotion right now of LGBT and gay rights and all that, it's all an affront to God and to the institution of marriage. They want to take marriage and break it down. Why? Because marriage is the building block that God builds the future on. Somebody say amen. It's a foundational relationship. And we need to take our marriages seriously and realize the power of that marriage. Do you know that your marriage is powerful? Do you know that your marriage establishes authority over your family? Somebody say amen. How to ensure our children's inheritance? By understanding that marriage is an institution of a covenant. Hallelujah. And by that, God brings succession. It's a generational blessing institution. Amen. I was speaking to a person once, and talking, yeah, it's all nice and wonderful. Then I started to, yeah, and his partner is great, and his partner is this. I said, your partner? I said, why not spouse? Oh, no, I don't need that. I said, why not? In the end, I was challenging him. You know when that challenging anointing comes? Hey, then let me get in your face anointing. And the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him go. And I kept challenging him. It's because you're not committed. It's because you don't see a future. It's because you can't commit yourself. You are being unfaithful to that woman. You're stealing her youth. I'll preach to this side of the church. You're stealing her youth. You're taking her best years from her. You're a ripoff. He said, no, I'm not. I said, you are a vulture. Oh, man, I got real prophetic on the man. Amen. But you know what? I think it was the Holy Ghost. I don't normally talk to people. I think it was the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes when you talk nice to people, by the time you leave, you say, oh, what a nice guy. But I still live like I'm living. Amen. Hallelujah. Yay. By the time I left, he was angry. He was thinking about me the whole night. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, You know, they say, no, I can love her without marrying. Listen, love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. He tells you he loves you. He's going to do this for you. You know, don't you listen to him. Because if he loves you, he will protect you. If he loves you, he will think about your name. He will think about your honor. He will think about building a future for you. He'll be in it for the long run. Don't tell me you love me if you're not ready to put a ring on our finger. Yay. Amen. No, but I love him. The feelings mean nothing. Tomorrow morning, wake up with another feeling. Amen. Yay. You and I need to realize that God put marriage there. And in the end, I said to him, the only reason you don't want to get married is because you're not committed and you're unwilling to give yourself. That's getting into a relationship that costs you nothing. If it costs you nothing, it will not carry its worth. Somebody say amen. For this reason, a man, Ephesians 5:31, shall leave his father and mother. Amen. And be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife. Not his neighbor's wife. Amen. So love his own wife. And let the wife see that she respects her husband, not the neighbor's husband. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we kind of chat, we're laughing a little bit, but listen, these are important principles we're going to build a successful future. Amen. Amen. I read this thing, it says that kissing between a husband and wife is two people getting so close together they can't see each other's faults anymore. Hallelujah. God grant us that we're that close. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? A great relationship doesn't happen with the love you started with. A great relationship is when you build on that love. That love deepens. Amen. That love grows. And when Paul speaks about marriage, he says it's a mystery. It's a revelation. Amen. It's a mystery of the communion, the fellowship, the union of Jesus and his bride, the church. Hallelujah. And God ordained that marriage will be a threefold cord. A husband, a wife, and God. A threefold cord. Not easily broken. When God's in your marriage, let me tell you, it's unbreakable. Amen. I've had times when I first got married, I said, man, this woman, I don't know if I married the right woman. Isn't it amazing? You're always the right one. The spouse must be the wrong one. Can it be that you're the wrong one? I'm just joking. You're not the wrong one. Amen. And then God starts working on. Let me tell you, when God starts working on you, you can't get away. He's there when you sleep. He's there when you wake up. He's there when you're walking. He's there when you're talking. He's there all the time. He just keeps working on you. And in the end, I found out that I have to change. When I got married, I thought I'm perfect. She's blessed to have found a guy like me. Amen. But a spouse has got a way of holding up a mirror. Amen. Hallelujah. And you start seeing what you need to change. Listen, a covenant is man, woman, and God in total commitment one to another. Amen. We need our marriages. Don't build your life outside of church. You need God. You need him to be the center. When we worship together, when we have a covenant relationship built around God, we're actually helping one another fulfill our call, find our destiny, fulfill purpose. Hallelujah. We encourage one another to step into something that is godly. It encourages us to keep soft hearts. Amen. Have you found every time you worship, the Holy Ghost speaks to you? Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, you worship and then the Holy Ghost speaks. No, leave that, Lord. I want to worship you right now. Oh, come straight back in front of you. Deal with it. Amen. and a blessing comes. Why is God so interested? Because a covenant marriage brings covenant blessings. Amen. And God wants to bless your marriage. What does it help, dearly beloved, to gain the whole world and lose your marriage? Amen. What does it help to go and win a great victory and build a multinational company and you come home and it's empty? Amen. What does it help? Sometimes we have to dial down a little bit and get rid of the world's idea of success. Amen. A little bit more. Jesus said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. The Bible speaks about godliness with contentment. And I'm not advocating that you don't press, that you don't increase, that you don't grow, that you don't expand. But listen, if it comes at the cost of your marriage, the price is far too high. Amen. Rather believe God to increase your capacity so that your marriage grows and strengthens so you can handle more. Amen. You know why? Because with money comes pride. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'll preach. With money comes pride. Why? Because you got money, you don't have to ask anybody for anything. You got money, you make your own decisions. Hello? With money comes pride. It's very dangerous to have money in an undeveloped marriage. Amen. Very dangerous. Because the next moment you don't need your wife anymore. Your secretary is lacquer. Amen. Listen, for those of you starting to look at your secretary, she's your employee. She has to say you're good. That's a revelation. Amen. She can't say, hey, you mucho, get your life straight. She can't say that to you. She's your employee. Amen. Hallelujah. Understand, the marriage union is holy. Amen. And listen, young people, you need to keep your heart pure. I believe that's another reason why divorce is so dangerous, because it exposes the spouse to adultery. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Not say a spouse when his divorce is going to commit adultery, but surely it exposes them to that temptation. Hello? And some of you withholding sex from one another, shame on you. It's your covenant relationship. Amen. Sex is not a weapon. It's a place of communion and fellowship and intimacy and love and giving. Amen. Hallelujah. Once spoke to a couple, they haven't made love for 3 years. I said, what's the point? Amen. I can have as good a relationship with the people walking down the street. Amen. Intimacy. Intimacy. Amen. Hallelujah. That's okay. We're real in this church. Hallelujah. Listen, we need to build deep. You know why many times sex is the first thing that suffers? Because communication has suffered. Amen. And pride has entered in. And humility is gone. Amen. And a giving to one another is gone. You and I need to understand that our marriage is sacred to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sex is for relationships. The Bible calls living together fornication. It's a sin, and those who commit that sin will not inherit the kingdom. Amen. So I'm leaving this church. Good. We don't want fornicators in the house. Amen. And those who look at a woman to lust after her, you're an adulterer in your heart. Amen. Especially nowadays, so easy to have a internet site. And let your eyes wander. No, we have to keep ourselves. Amen. Keep yourself. Your marriage is a sanctified place. Hallelujah. So many marriages suffer. It's okay. We're adults here. So many marriages suffer because one of the spouses allow themselves to look at pornography.
And then they want to act it out in a relationship that's supposed to be holy. Amen. And they bring shame on their partners. That's why we must stay away from those things. Let holiness fill your heart. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Praise God. It's a good thing you came to church this morning. Tell your neighbor, it's a very good thing you came to church this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, living together is a sinful situation. It means the enemy, Satan, has authority to access your life. It's very dangerous to live with broken down walls where the enemy can walk in and out like he wants. Very dangerous place to live. It's living outside of the blessing and the covenant, the protection that God has placed in a marriage. Amen. And no matter where you are, and I know I'm speaking to a church that's living in the 21st century where probably 40% at least are divorced already. But thank God, divorce is not the unpardonable sin. Take these things and apply it to the marriage you're in now, and let this be that, let that be it. Amen. Hallelujah. God never condemns us. You're never at the end of His mercy, but you're always at the beginning of a new day. Hallelujah. Saying, now I'm going to build my life for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to set a godly example for my children. You know what the amazing thing is? Everything you do, there's little eyes that are watching you. Seeing exactly what you're doing. And guess what? They don't do what you say. They do what you do and worse. Amen. Everything you excuse in moderation, they will abuse in excess. Hello? Amen. Tell your kids, don't smoke. You skit the stompy out the window. They run around, they smoke the stompy. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Don't drink. No, they're watching you. Amen. They're watching you. And you leave that little bit of whiskey there in your glass. Listen, the church is holy and pure and sanctified. We are free of these things. Amen. We're not wine-sipping saints. Amen. The Bible says don't even look at those things. Oh, I feel that one. There's a bit of a weight in that word. You that are thinking you can drink a little bit, smoke a little bit. So why don't you fornicate also just a little bit? And, murder a little bit. It's just a little bit. Amen. No, why must we allow the enemy in? No, the Bible says we have been bought with a price. We have been delivered from the powers of sin. We live with authority over those things. Amen. One spoke to a believer. Believer, standing drinking with the unbelievers, with the beer in his hand. I said, cease, man. What's your testimony? Amen. No, he says, I'm not bound by this. I say, if you're not so bound, why don't you put it down right now? Come on now. If it had no power over you, why do you even want it? It stinks. And it's bad for you. Thank God, scientifically, alcohol has been found to be the cause of cancer. Now, amen. Listen, I enjoy my beer. No, the Bible says must be holy, separated, sanctified to God. Children are watching you. Amen. And as you listen to my sermon, I'm spoiling more and more of your fun. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to manifest Himself in a marriage. A marriage is a place of purity where children learn right from wrong. Amen. Where they grow in the knowledge of God. Where a husband and a wife exhort one another. Work with one another. Comfort one another. Amen. and grow in this covenant. Do you know that when you step into a marriage covenant, something divine happens? Because a man and a woman can live together, but the moment they get married, something changes. He's no longer man. God names him husband. There's a big difference between a husband and a man. Amen. He steps into the anointing of a husband. He steps into the mantle of what a husband is. A divine enablement comes on him to fulfill a different role. A husband is the head of the home. A man is just a man, but a husband is the head of the home. A husband is the priest, the one who God authorizes. And when he speaks, angels listen, because he carries an authority. He has become husband. Amen. A wife, something different. Amen. It's not just a woman. The moment she becomes a wife, she gains authority. That's why many people can live together for a long time, but let them get married and the anointing of a wife comes on her and she starts asserting the authority. Hey, who's this woman? Why? Because something came on her, an anointing to be wife, to be the homemaker, to be the helpmate, to be the blessing and the protection around her husband and her children. Suddenly a voice comes on her because it's an authority. Listen, authority is released when a husband and a wife step into their role. You can be married. You can be married. The moment you get married, that anointing comes on you. Things change. Come on now. How many of you have seen people live together for a long time? Then they get married within 3 months. Hey! Why? Because now it's a wife speaking to you. She carries an anointing. There's a call on that ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the power and authority that God has put there. And listen, the best way to do that, what you don't honor cannot establish its blessing to you. When you honor a woman for her role and let her be who she's supposed to be, the blessing of who she is comes on the children and on you. But if you don't let her carry the authority and the voice that she's supposed to carry in your life, one of which is sorting you out. Thank you. If you don't allow her to be that, you cannot receive of her anointing and you cannot be the beneficiary of the authority that God has placed in her life. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. God placed it like that. He did it like that on purpose because he knows us. Amen. Some of you men, if only I can get her to behave, may she never behave. Amen. I'll change him. You'll never change him. God created him in his image. Hallelujah. We will minister to one another, change together into the glory of God. That's why he's the third member of the marriage. Because he lifts both of us up. Amen. Our agreement is as much as we can agree the principles of this word. That's how much our marriage goes from glory to glory. Have you heard about Bonnie and Clyde? They agreed, but it was the wrong agreement. Didn't take them from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Something divine happens. Listen, saints, when you start respecting that authority, you can receive from that authority. If you disrespect the authority that a husband has or that the wife has, you force them to play the part that you're supposed to be playing. And your marriage cannot advance. Why is that? Because you and I know that if you're going to have a soft soccer game, you can have the best striker. You can have Messi up in front. Amen. Or let's change it. You can have Kaka up in front. It's a real soccer player. It's okay. Now the reason I changed name is this. Because he can be the best striker that the world's ever seen. But if you force him to play defense, your game's going to be caca. No striker, no goals. If you don't let your partner be who they're supposed to be, and you are who you're supposed to be, the marriage will not score goals. Amen. The more you withhold your partner from being who they are, having the voice, standing in the authority that they've given, playing their part, the more you have to do it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Respect is a huge force in marriage. Honor and respect. And I pray today that God help us open our eyes to the areas that we don't honor, we don't respect. Amen. One of the biggest breakdowns in marriage is when people start judging one another, becoming bitter towards one another. Amen. And most times bitterness because he's not doing what I want or she's not doing what I want. Since when's it been about that? I thought you there to love. Amen. To be a blessing. So when I enter marriage, I let my partner be who they're supposed to be. I honor that role. Hallelujah. I let my husband be the head of the home. Amen. God's anointed him for that. Hallelujah. Oh, we believe in woman's lib. Women are the same as men. There's no difference. Then why do you expect him to hold the door open for you? Hello? Amen. It's amazing, these women's libbers. We the same. We better than men. And the moment men start treating them like men, oh, where's his respect? Can't have it both ways. Hello? Amen? Hallelujah. We're different. And the difference is deeper than physical. Amen? When I first got married, I thought a woman is basically a man with long hair. Amen? You don't realize what you married. I mean, you married. It's a mystery. That's what's a mystery. You marry a mystery, brother. Amen. And God slowly but surely brings the revelation to you that you understand absolutely nothing. Amen. And neither does she. Amen. I think many women think their husband's basically a woman that's cut her hair. We're different. God created us beautiful. He put those roles in the family. He blessed the family. And when we honor that and we love that, I pray that God open your eyes to see your partner with new eyes today. Let the spirit of restoration flood this house this morning. Let the spirit of revelation flood your hearts. Hallelujah. You know, as I was preparing this message, God was saying to me, he's going to touch people's hearts to rediscover areas of blessing in their partner. Because many times when you allow yourself to close those areas off, you cannot receive from them anymore. But in the name of Jesus, the anointing of God is sweeping this house, is to release the full blessing. May your marriage be whole. Amen. May your partner be every blessing they're supposed to be. Hallelujah. And every one of you fulfill the call and the destiny of God. Come on, why don't we make today a day that the blood of Jesus wipes the slate clean. And a new day begins. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands. Father, open our eyes. Anoint every ear. Anoint every eye to see. Open. Let revelation and truth flood the house today. Let marriage just be deep in spirit of God, the way that you planned it from the beginning. Lord, areas of our lives where we dishonor our husbands or dishonor our wives and do not see and can't see. There's areas, Lord, that we've been hurt and we couldn't see. But now let the restorative power of the blood of Jesus cleanse minds and cleanse hearts and purify us and restore a first love. The Holy Ghost says he's going to open your eyes to a first love. You're going to love with the purity and the holiness like it was in the beginning. A first love, an opening of the heart and a rediscovery. And Father, in that marriages shall become whole, and the covenant shall be established, and the blessing shall start flowing, and the children will eat from the inheritance of a good marriage, a solid marriage. Father, where we live in humility and courage and strength, one towards another and honor, I bless every home, every father, every mother, every husband, every wife. Thank you for a reset in the spirit. Thank you for a replenishing. That's it. The Spirit of God is washing your eyes to see, cleansing your heart to perceive, and opening for you the gift that is placed in your life. God says that's the gift that I've given you, the one that I've placed in your life. And if you open your heart today, God says, I will start revealing my glory to you. And God says, I'm taking your marriage from glory to glory. I declare today it's the dawn of a new day in your marriage, in your life, in your home, and with your children. I bless the church. We thank for your hand on each saint. We glorify you. Thank you, Spirit of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed as we're sitting in the presence of God. The Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He loved you so much, He didn't leave you the way you are. You see, Jesus didn't say you're a sinner and therefore you will be rejected. He says you're a sinner, but I'll come to seek and save you. God is a merciful God, a loving God. And today He's given the answer for your sin. He's given the answer for the very condemnation that you feel, the heaviness, the power of the curse by the blood of Jesus. He sets you free and He betroths you to Himself as His wife. He says, I will make you mine. I will wash you in my blood. Today you're sitting here, you say, Pastor Johnny, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Pray for me. I want to enter a covenant relationship with my God. Pray for me today. I want to make right. Let me tell you, God loves you. All over this place, I want to pray for you. Say, here I am, Pastor Johnny. Pray for me. I want to make right with God. That's the Spirit of God moving on you right now. All over this place, here I am. Pray for me. You can lift your hand and I include you in this prayer. Pastor Johnny, pray for me. Thank you back there. Thank you. On my right, on my left, back there. Thank you. In the middle, all over this place, here I am, Lord. Make right. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. Purify me. Restore me. I sense the restorative blessing of God. All over this place, you say, Pastor Johnny, include me in your prayer. I'm about to pray. Here I am. I want to make right with God. You might be backslidden, but here I am, Lord. Wash me in your blood again. Restore my soul. Thank you for these lives. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else, include me in your prayer. Bless you, sir. Bless you, ma'am. Bless you in the back. Thank you, Father, for these hands. Now, if you've raised your hand, raise it again. I'm going to pray right now. Father, as hands are raised to you, the living God, the forgiver of our sins, the one who washed us and gave your Son, I bless them. In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood. I take the authority of the name of Jesus. I bind every deception. I break its power from the heart of these believers. And in Jesus' name, I thank for filling them with revelation of you. Thank you, Spirit of God, for moving in their hearts with conviction, drawing each and every one. I bless them from this very moment. Now, you got your hands raised. I want you quickly, wherever you're sitting, I want you to stand. Everybody got your hands raised. Don't just put your hand down. Don't stay in your seat. Stand up all over the place. On my right, there at the back, stand. Right at the back, in the middle, here on my left, stand. Come to the front. I want to pray for you. All over, from the back, come. Come through to the aisle. Come down. We want to pray for you. The blood of Jesus is here to wash you. The Savior is here to redeem you. As they are coming, you might be saying, Pastor Johnny, I would love to come, but I didn't put my hand up. Can I come? Yes, this is a covenant place for you where you can restore with your God. Come on, saints. Let's thank God as they come. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. What a miracle moment with the saving grace of Jesus. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. Thank you for these lives, Father. The mercy of God poured out on these souls. The saving grace of the cross extended to them. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Those of you standing in front, raise your hand. It might feel strange. It's okay. It's just a sign of surrender. And say, Father God,
Say it out loud with your mouth. Father God, I surrender to you. I give you this life. Take me, Father. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. And make me your child. Today, I turn my back on the world. And I give my life to you. Jesus, you rose from the dead. You're the Son of the living God. And today, I confess that you shed your blood and that you rose from the dead. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. You are the Son of the living God. And today, I give you authority in my life. Be Lord from this day onwards. Thank you for cleansing me, washing me in the blood of Jesus. Father, thank you for your cleansing power. The blood that washes and cleanses the soul, restores each and every one. As far as the east is from the west, he removes my transgressions. Thank you for the blood that washes them clean. And from this moment, your blood speaks of the better promises of a covenant and a new life. They are yours, Lord. And today we bless them. I seal them by the blood of Jesus. And we receive them into your kingdom. Thank you for hearing their heart and setting them free. In Jesus' name, I cancel every assignment. I break every curse. I come against every incantation, every curse, every commitment and every covenant. And I break it by the blood of Jesus of Nazareth. I set them free. And I thank you now for your spirit at work. From this moment, be filled with the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for receiving these, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You're experiencing that? It's deep in the soul. The blood washes. And you'll never be the same. You belong to him now. I want you to look at me for a moment. When you said, Jesus, I give you my life, he heard you. He took you seriously. He received you. He washed you in his blood. And he gave you a new beginning. From today, he counts you as his own, and you'll never be the same. We bless you in the name of Jesus. You belong to God now.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you. So please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you and God bless.